Welcome to What Makes the Lakes. I'm your host, Livy, and today we will be time traveling to the beginning of the creation of Cumbria. For the first few episodes, I thought it would be fitting to discover Cumbria's oldest history. It's geology. Before I get started on the story of how the landscape became Cumbria, there are a few basics I need to cover so everyone can understand. Let's rock on with the geology of the Lake District, part one. Before we begin, I would like to make it clear that any opinions expressed on this podcast are my own and not to be associated with the views of the museum I work for. Let's get started. First of all, the planet is made up of many interlocking plates. These are both continental and oceanic. The plates move due to the convection of magma. This causes compression and divergence of the plate. This system is known as plate tectonics. This causes volcanoes, mountains, and rifts. Igneous rocks are rocks which have undergone melting. You may have seen this in volcanoes. The molten lava is an igneous rock. The magma below is an igneous rock. Most people think that because it's a solid, that a rock has to be a solid, but that's not necessarily true. There are many different kinds of igneous rock, and they tend to be defined by the concentration of silica found in its formation. This is influenced by what the original source of the melting rock was, whether it was continental or oceanic. Oceanic crust is the bedrock of the ocean, surprise, surprise. However, it has the highest melting temperature. It's very runny, there's very little explosivity. A great example of this would be Hawaii, where you've got about as predictable as you can get in terms of volcanic eruptions. You can still burn, they will still set fire to things, it will still melt things. Continental crust, however, is the exact opposite. It's formed from the land being melted. It has the highest concentration of silica. This magma tends to be really gloopy, really viscous, and has the lowest rock melting temperature. Volcanoes formed from continental crust tend to be highly explosive. In fact, most of the time, if there is melting of the continental crust, it won't form an actual volcano. It will build up a lot of pressure and push through the surrounding rock, known as country rock, and form an igneous intrusion, which in turn causes metamorphism of the country rock. If by, you know, very slim chance, there is enough pressure to build up to break through to the surface, you then get this incredibly highly explosive, this is where you get like calderas, where the top of the mountain can be totally blown off, you will get projectiles, you will get ash. Great historical example of that would be Krakatoa, huge eruption, caused ash and chaos and projectiles known as pyroclastic bombs. You also get pumice because of the high amount of gas buildup in these rock types. You know, these rocks are quite interesting. You can get a lot of stories from them if you know what you're looking at when you're looking at the rocks. I can definitely go into more of this, but I'll hold back because we want to know about the geology of the Lake District, not just geology in general. It'll be a whole different podcast. Metamorphism. This is the process of subjecting a rock to heat and or pressure. The key thing is there is no melting involved. This is just a change in temperature and pressure before the rock gets to the point of melting. Once it hits that melting point, that's an igneous rock. These rocks can originally be sedimentary, igneous, or even metamorphic before experiencing metamorphism, or more metamorphism if the rock was originally metamorphic. It can get really confusing, but again, such an interesting topic. Once you know how to read it, you can tell all the processes that the rock has undergone in terms of melting, folding, uplift. Uplift is where you release the pressure that's above it, and that in itself can cause cracks and infill of minerals. Sedimentary rocks. These are formed from horizontal accumulation of sediments over time. Granted, you might not find the sedimentary rocks in a horizontal position, but that doesn't mean that they weren't originally deposited in a horizontal position, as a general rule. These rock types tend to be named after the sediment they were created for, which makes it quite easy to work out how they were made. Sandstone is made from sand, mudstone is made from mud, siltstone is made from silt, etc, etc. Except, as always, there are a few exceptions. Breccia. This is formed from angular fragments of rocks sedimented by finer sediments. So this could be mudstones, really fine sandstones, with like chunks of rock in between. They're quite a beautiful rock, to be honest. There are just two more definitions that I need to go through before we hit the nitty-gritty of what happened to make the Lake District the beautiful landscape that it is today. So the first definition that I want to cover is an unconformity. This is a surface separating two rock deposits of different ages. This can be caused by erosion or even a lack of rock formation over a significant period of time. When you look at textbook examples, always very clear. And then you get in the field and you're like, oh my goodness, what am I looking at? But once you get your eye in, that's the key. Gotta get your eye in. And then finally, last but by no means least, a foreland basin. This is created from horizontal rock deposits that are warped through tectonic activity and tend to develop parallel to a mountain belt. Of the basics, now it's time to get into the geology part. This is an extremely basic overview, but it should be enough to get us through geological formation of the Lake District. If you want more specifics on the geology, the fossilized sea creatures, or detail in how you can read metamorphic rocks, how you can read igneous rocks, like a time capsule to be able to tell you its story, drop me a message. Social media, email, details on at the end of this episode. I can do a few more geology specials. You know, geology has a special place in my heart. I could talk about it all day. I did my degree on it. Any podcast where I can slip in a little bit geology, it's going to be happening regardless, but I don't mind doing a few geology specials, especially when we start talking about the mining industry. I honestly think it's a fundamental of our being. I mean, it's our earth, but I digress. It is now time to rock on, pun intended, with the story of Cumbria's geology. The oldest rocks in Cumbria formed 500 million years ago in the Southern Hemisphere, within an ocean called the Iapetus Ocean, which lay between modern-day North America, known as Laurentia, and the European plate, which was known as Gondwana. I know these names sound very confusing. I will be referring to their ancient names rather than their modern names like Europe and North America, because the structure of the continents themselves was entirely different than it was today, as you will find out. 500 million years ago, the Lake District was entirely submerged by the Iapetus Ocean. Mud and sand was deposited on the seabed over millions of years, trapping and preserving the remains of sea creatures. These sediments formed a sediment group known as the Skiddaw Group, or the Skiddaws for short. A group is a combination of rocks with a similar origin. The skiddaws contain sandstones, siltstones, mudstones, and breccia. Most of the rocks in this group are sedimentary with a small amount of metamorphism, but this was caused by volcanism that happened later than their original deposition. 490 million years ago, Gondwana, aka Europe, and Laurentia, aka North America, began to drift towards each other, resulting in a contraction of the Iapetus Ocean. As the Gondwana plate submerged below the Laurentia plate, as the Gondwana plate pushed up the ocean bed, which formed the Skiddaw Group. This tectonic activity instigated volcanism, producing different kinds of lava, basalts and andesites, which formed the Eckart volcanic group. The transition between basalts to andesite is really important and interesting. The difference between the two is the amount of silica used to form the rock. Basalts have the least and are formed from the source of oceanic crust. However, the presence of the andesite shows a transition from the source being oceanic crust towards continental crust. Later, the Borrowdale volcanic group was created. There is evidence that this is the more explosive period by the presence of pyroclastic rocks. These are projectiles of rock which shoot out of the volcano. Not all volcanoes have these, just the ones with the higher silica content. These formed the ash and rock fragments like pumice. The Skiddaw group, the Eckart volcanic group, and the Borrowdale volcanic group then underwent some serious metamorphism. It was literally folded in on itself, and it faulted where the pressure got too great. The ground literally broke itself due to this extreme pressure and slid over itself. The rock groups were then thrust upwards and exposed to all of the elements, resulting in a hell of a lot of erosion. And it also meant that there was a lot of this rock group was removed from the record because of that level of erosion. However, the erosion didn't happen consistently over all the rock groups. This is because each rock type had a different physical and chemical property. The volcanic groups are relatively physically strong and resistant to erosion and weathering. Consequently, they tend to create the more prominent rock faces and outcrops in the landscape. The land then sank and became a marine environment again. $440 million ago, the Windermere supergroup was deposited in the bending of the Laurasian Gondwana plates during their collision. The process caused a foreland basin to form, filled with sandstones, limestones, and mudstones. There was continuing mountain building, which led to the Caledonian orogeny. An orogeny is defined as a mountain building event. The Caledonian orogeny, named after Scotland, Caledonia, lasted for about 150 million years. It's one of the most famous mountain building events in Britain. Anyone who has studied any level of geology in England has heard of this event. It's the process that brought England and Scotland together. Part of Laurasia broke off, forming Scotland. And Gondwana, the northern part of Gondwana, then collided with that small part of Laurasia to form Great Britain as we know it today. This is the end of part one of the geological formation of Cumbria. I wanted to give you a nice little book recommendation if you're really interested in geology, learning more about the terminology and just general interest in rock. You know, spreading the word on the joys of rock. My book recommendation is the OCR Geology textbook. It's a really good basic beginner. I know it's for A-level, but they have really good diagrams in there, really good explanations, and it's just a great stepping stone if you're wanting to learn more about this field of study. It's by Debbie Armstrong, Frank Muddlestone, Ruth Richards, and Francis Stratton. I will put this in the social media as a book recommendation so you can find it easily. If you've got any comments, queries, or concerns, please contact me on whatmakesthelakes@gmail.com. I hope you enjoyed the first episode of What Makes the Lakes. To get notified on when the next episode is, like or follow at Makes the Lakes on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm your host, Livy. Thanks for listening.